But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
We're back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, discussing the worst MVPs in the history of the NFL. But while we're also doing that, we're discussing the fact that your Dallas Stars extended that winning streak last night. They're back to their winning ways, Kevin. I love it so much. Overtime, my brother-in-law were keeping up with this game.
It was a very fun game, unless you're a Rangers fan.
Well, we were sharing some family time last night at my mom's house. And my brother-in-law is like, oh, man, it's tied 3-3 right now. We got to get this thing going. And so we were keeping up with it throughout the night.
So, look, this is the longest winning streak of the season for the Stars at 5. Their previous long was, well, they were at 4, which was tied for the beginning of the season when they broke off wins in their first 4 games. If you tuned out on this game, first of all, you missed a bananas first period. But I could see why somebody might tune out knowing that, like, hey, it's 3-0 and maybe thinking that's a wrap, even in the first period, thinking that's a wrap at 3-0 because the Stars fell behind 3-0 and they scored the tying goal. Well, they got to 3-3 with Robertson in the second period, but Thomas Harley scored with less than 3 minutes to go to even the game back up because it stayed at 3-3 for essentially like almost a whole period. And then the Rangers scored, and it looked like, hey, good for you. You made your comeback from 0-3 down. You're still going to lose. But they didn't. They got the Harley goal. They won the game. They have not been a great road team this year. They're not a terrible road team, but they haven't been a great road team this year. And so they get the win, pick up 2 more points, and they continue to be one of the hottest teams in the NHL.
What about the Rangers? The New York Rangers, that is, Kevin. Sorry, Mike. I know you got really excited there.
The New York Rangers are not that good.
Mike is wearing his Rangers beanie, the World Series Championship beanie right now. And it has a bean on it, so I can call it a beanie. But what do you think about...
Hold up. I'm sorry. I know you're about to ask a sports question. This is my fault. Is that really what that's called, and is that why they call it that?
I'll be honest, Kevin. I've always had this argument, and nobody's ever been able to come with a real conclusion here. And if it doesn't have...
I'm wagging my beanie for
you. It doesn't have that thing at the top, the little poof ball, which I refer to as the bean. Maybe your head is the bean, and that's why they refer to your head. Kevin is... All right, if you're watching the fan cam now... We
you
are all
stars
in this beanie mode.
I got my stars.
Kevin is wearing
not
his
beanie,
stars,
though.
Not beanie.
Because there's
Mike
nothing
is wearing
on the
his
top.
Rangers beanie.
Did you bring your bean?
I did not. Mine's actually in the car. I didn't need my bean today. Never mind. Stop it. People just moved to the fan cam, Kevin.
Why would you do that?
I didn't say anything.
That discussion, though, is always interesting. What do you call it? Is it a toboggan? Oh. This is, you know what? I'm a fan. I'm a company man. We're going
105
through
the fan.
Bean. Yeah, that's my bean right there, and it does no bean. So
but I'm the only one. You guys are wearing. What are those called?
Are these toboggans or
it's
I thought
beanie.
That was like a bobsled.
See, that's what I think. I think
what
it's
makes,
a beanie,
when
no
you
matter
the
what.
Ball on top,
I don't know.
What does it mean?
Yeah,
it's just a puff.
I don't know. I always referred to those as beanies, and this is just
why
like a cap.
Why did they do this?
So
it doesn't provide more warmth.
I don't know.
It's aesthetic, Mike.
That's what you think.
It looks cool. I will say that. Who started it? Good question.
Right. Explain how this gives me 1%
I will not.
More warmth.
I bet it does. I bet it does because there's more product right there at the top.
So I'm sorry.
Do you think it's what if the circle thing?
I'm sorry.
Up here is you can pull this on and off here.
Mm-hmm.
Like I can take
can't
it off.
Put it on that
and
way.
And if I have wet, cold hands, I'm not touching this and making this wet.
Let me see you try to put that hat on like that.
Well, I know I misspoke.
You misspoke.
Easy.
Mm-hmm.
On.
And now he can dry his wet, cold hands off.
Not so
okay.
Easy.
So okay.
There you go.
Sorry to throw us into a loop, but when you said that, here's the thing.
I know.
If you have confidence, not you, Mike, when Corey said that, if you have confidence, you can convince people of a lot of stuff.
Like Billy Carson.
Yes. We're not going to get into that. I know what you're talking about. But the way you said that's a beanie on the top of his hat and that's why it's a beanie, I believed you. And that's why I went in that direction.
I love the text coming in. In the apparel industry, we call the top of thing a palm. So that's what they call it.
Okay.
A beanie is one that doesn't fold over. A toboggan is one that does fold over. So
you're wearing beanies. I'm wearing a toboggan.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And Corey's 105.3 The Fan was a fold over as well. This one doesn't fold over.
The ball is to keep you from bumping your head back when sailors are on a ship. I don't know anything about that.
This is the great thing.
Who knows? But I love saying, hey, community, what do we know together?
Right.
And then finding out we really don't know anything. But I was asking about the New York Rangers. They're not a great team.
Yeah.
But Kevin, looking at the standings, it doesn't look like there's maybe two teams that have really separated themselves from the pack.
Yeah.
And that is Vegas is doing what Vegas does.
And you might argue Toronto. I know Florida's really good, but there's a massive gap after that.
Yeah. And it just feels like there are a lot of teams kind of in that area. And I said this, I think, last week working with Alec. I was like, you look at it and you go, the Stars record-wise look like they're kind of the same as this team.
Yeah.
But then you look at their point differential and you're like, oh, no, the Stars are a much better team than everybody else.
Agreed.
That's in that area.
Well, and the one that's really deceptive, look, I'm going to stick with this for a while. I know they've been playing somewhat better, but take a look at Winnipeg. There is a lot that start is covering up for because they started, what was it, 15-0, 16-0? They started at a ridiculous clip. Since then, they're either 12-12-2 or 13-12-2. And I know they still have a dominant goal differential. I'm not arguing against that. I think it might be the best in the league.
46.
But a lot of that was built up in that first 15 or 16 games. And I would argue you would absolutely more want to play Winnipeg than you would Minnesota in the playoffs right now.
And you could probably say the same for San Jose. Their negative point differential was built up over the entire season. That's
they
just the way it's
suck.
Gone.
Do you feel good when the Stars beat Minnesota, or do you feel bad? Because not only did we steal their team, but then we're beating them.
I don't feel bad. I might have like the first year they got their team back and we still, because the Stars have been done very well against the Minnesota Wild. I don't think I feel bad, but I just feel good because you got 2 points, not because in your face, because we already got the team. Like I always thought about that when, not to tangent us again, I swear, I'm sorry about this. But whenever
I love what you're doing, you're turning into us.
Whenever somebody is like, oh, that person cheated, and like now you got him, and they're like, oh, we should show off. I'm like, why? You got the person.
Yeah, you already won.
Like, what is the point of that?
Yeah. Isn't it nice whenever a woman tells you that too? You won, you have me. You're like,
But can you imagine though, if you're gonna get married, like let's say you're like 3 months out of getting married, and then the person you're gonna get married decided to go hook up with somebody else. And then the person that was going to get married, they made a poor decision. They looked through that person's phone and the person that they broke up with to get with said after like a month, hey, that's cool, in a text message. I'm just not really looking for anything serious.
Oh my gosh.
Like, would you, as the person who got cheated on and had your marriage broken before it actually happened, feel vindication by that? Still feel bad about going through the phone.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say to that person who we have no clue who that is, that's probably the best thing that ever happened that you found that out before you got married?
Yeah.
Yes.
That is a positive
thing. Because you could have found that out 3 months after you got married.
For sure. And you eventually married a far better person.
Like a goddess almost.
Oh, for sure.
I mean,
yeah. Like 20 years later.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I didn't say it would happen straight away.
Too bad they didn't tender back in the day.
Hey, real quick, because Kevin, right, I want to get to the City of Dallas grades here.
Yes, Tinder is a thing. It's for the Stars. Not for the City of
Dallas. I love what you're doing, Kevin. You are sitting in our chair now because you're not leading, for the most part, because of your voice.
Uh-huh.
Corey's having the lead. And you're turning into us what we do to you. And isn't it
it's
great
inevitable.
What happens in your head while you're listening?
And
it's
all of
inevitable.
My instincts right now are saying, just go with it like I always do.
But
and
you're
then
trying
I'm
to
like,
get us
I
back
gotta,
on track to Dallas
you're chained
Stars.
To the desk.
Somebody
yeah, I get
did
you.
Ask where Alex Beanie is, and I think he's wearing one.
I'm wearing a John Cena beanie.
Okay, so he's wearing his John Cena beanie.
You can't see it.
You can't see it.
I'm going to tease this. All right. I do have written down WWE Netflix for 12:45.
Okay, looking forward to that. All right,
because the Cena showed up.
Let's talk then about the City of Dallas grade, Kevin, or the Dallas Stars. I'm looking at this team right now, and again, I go to their point differential, and that's not something they built up in a hot start. That's something that they have done over this season. And they continue to add to it. Sometimes it goes down, but it stays in that area. It's about 29. I saw it at 35 last week, or 25 last week. And that's a positive thing for the Stars. They're not the best team. They are right on the cusp of being in that area, that grouping, though. And that's where I put them. I give them an A.
Okay.
I give them an A.
And this might bend some people out of shape.
You have higher expectations?
I do. And so...
That's why you're wearing the...
That's right. I love the Stars. But that's another thing where, and I realize they have a couple games in hand on the teams that are still in the Central that they're trailing. I think it's 2 for Minnesota and 3 for Winnipeg. I saw an article from the Athletic. I was flipping through it and I was like, you know what? There's a lot of good points in here. I'm going to give them a B minus. And here's the reason. And this is the first line of the Athletic article that like really won me over. And I was like, that makes a lot of sense. The Stars are good, but we're grading on a curve based on expectations. I think the Stars have like the 8th best record in the NHL, give or take. They should be one of the top 3 teams. I realize they've had some scoring issues, but my expectations for the Stars this year are sky high. Like, I don't know if you say Stanley Cup or bust because then you just set yourself up for potential failure. My expectations for the Stars team are sky high. And that's why I think they've been fine this year. And that's where I feel like B minus fine. And that's where I'm at.
Okay. You know what? Then fine. I'll drop to A minus.
You can have whatever grade you want.
You just convinced me to drop it to an A minus. And that's frustrating.
Alec, am I being unfair with a B minus? Or maybe I should ask. People in Fantex, Franklin Frankel, injury attorney Fantex, or the Twillos, am I being unfair? I say B minus, and I feel comfortable with that.
I think you just made me drop to a C plus.
Oh,
thanks,
wow.
Kevin.
Look at you, Kevin, making drop their grades.
No, I do think it's fair.
This is the start of the semester, too, for most of the students out there. So.
I'm giving them an F, because I guess they should have been number one.
I thought you were going to say F for can't find, because... I know
that they're on that app.
Wouldn't that be a CF?
I struggle.
Fair. Okay. I didn't want to give them too much.
Okay, NA, I understand that.
Not applicable.
Every once in a while in my life, I've figured out how to throw my phone onto the television and watch it, but it's rare.
Doesn't that break the TV?
Sometimes it's not in the show you're trying to watch from.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Is it encrypted right? And that's how it works. I learned that recently. I got a projector from Christmas from my sister, but I can't project Netflix, Disney, Amazon because... It's not encrypted in the box, so I have to get a Roku or something like that.
If it makes you feel any better, I can't project either.
I hear you, buddy. I think, Kevin, the Stars team is going to be an absolute pleasure, but
they are.
They do have some things they need to fix, and like here from the 214, until they fix their power play, they can't be a top three team. And the last week they had a really good outing in their power play. It was something that served them well in one of their wins. But it has to be a more consistent thing throughout the year.
I know we're going to have to boogie in a second. Can I tell you a couple of other NFL things that I thought were interesting? You can boogie right now, Mike. Good job. Did you see the massive shift in money for Cam Ward being the number one pick in the draft? He dropped from plus 600 to minus 135. That is a humongous shift. And Shedeur Sanders.
But we don't know who the general manager is.
Which is weird, right?
Yeah, that's just interesting to me. Like, if they wouldn't have fired the general manager, I'd have been like, well, somebody figured out that the general manager knows which way he's going. But you hire a new general manager, and they might feel very different about Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders.
And by the way, another person it impacted is Travis Hunter. He went from plus 240 to plus 1,100 to be the number one pick in the draft. I have no doubt he'll go probably third after Cam and Shedeur, but Shador's at plus 100, so still like just about even, which makes Cam Ward a slight favorite. But it was Shador's a pretty good favorite, then Travis Hunter, and then Cam Ward's way back there at number six. So I wonder what information has come in, especially when there's a missing GM somewhere. I wonder if people have connected the dot of, this is who they're interviewing, this is who I think is going to get it, and I know this is who he wants.
Definitely could be a possibility. I know the draft is April. That yep. is very similar to when the NCAA tournament is played.
Yeah, they've just finished in April.
Got some time before. Those odds are going to change drastically, you think?
Like, I think so.
In that time? But
absolutely.
That big move right there is a very interesting shift.
And Ashton Jenty declared for the draft.
Thanks a lot, Ashton.
We all knew
you were going to do that, man. Thank you for declaring, though. Now you can become a Cowboy, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Coming up next here on the KNC Masterpiece, into the playoffs.
What if you would have just eclaired? Just like the cream in the middle?
What were the most surprising storylines of the NFL regular season? We do that next on The Fan.
And here's a handoff to Henry coming on the right side. He blows through everybody down to the 15, turns left at the 10. Carson swipes at him, can't get him. And Henry just rambles in for the Baltimore touchdown.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, Corey Majors, Kevin Hagelin, Mike Bassick, Alec Medford, all hanging out with you for your lunch hour. We are now in the expressway, ladies and gentlemen. It is 40 minutes of uninterrupted sports content in your ear holes. There's also some comedy included. Whenever Mike decides he wants to tell jokes, or maybe even Kevin has a joke for you.
Mm.
All right. We're about to get into the most shocking stories of this NFL season. And you can text in, what's yours? Was it a story you were like, no, I knew that was going to happen beforehand? Or you're like, no, this is a turn of events that I did not see coming. Before we do that, though, Kevin, due to Thursday's expected weather, and I want everybody to understand this, Kevin created this weather. When he said that snow was coming on Thursday. But due to Thursday's expected weather that's coming on this way, Rangers Winter Caravan is moving to this upcoming Monday evening, January 13th. So it's moving from this Thursday to Monday evening in our showroom downstairs. I don't want anybody showing up on Thursday night and being like, what's going on?
That's tomorrow night.
You got to listen. Tell your friends. Tweet it out. Text your friends. Whatever it is. Email. Carrier pigeons. Let everybody know that it's moving to Monday.
Pigeons aren't flying Thursday.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Still, they're south
for the winter.
Still scheduled to appear, Marcus Semien and Cody Bradford. I love that. We've also added pictures with the Rangers World Series trophy, free food from Whataburger. I love Whataburger. Plus, awesome Rangers giveaways, including tickets, gift bags, and their new World Series DVD.
Ooh. I want that.
Doors open at 6 now, so it went from 6:30 to 6. That's changed. Autographs from 6:30 to 7, followed by the guys joining Jared Sandler on stage for the debut of Rangers Hot Stove from 7 to 8. No sign up necessary. Just show up. Enjoy the night with the Rangers and 105 through the Fan. And I will tell you this also. I know for a fact.
It's awesome.
Carter Freeman will be there. So if you want to say, I got a Tuesday tailgate question, you get after it.
I worked with Carter Freeman on December 31st. And last time at Peace-a-thon, not this last Peace-a-thon, but the last time, I bought the Whataburger for a year, which is like 52 coupons to get Whataburgers.
That's a cool thing.
I had three left on December 31st that I knew I wasn't going to be able to go to Whataburger, but I gave those coupons to Carter and to Alec. I know Alec, I know Carter did use his because he used it during the show. He just took like a quick break, went to Whataburger, got his Whataburger.
Where's a Whataburger around
Real
here?
Real close to the
Kroger. Oh, yeah, the one
Target.
Over there. Okay, yeah.
Alec, were you able to use one of the last Whataburger coupons of 2024?
I actually did. Corey told me to lie in my ear and say yes.
Didn't.
No, I actually did. I went right after the show. I went to the one off of Broad Street in Mansfield. And that was such a flex, man. They give you that like $10 receipt. And it's like, no, cut that in half. That was
See,
amazing.
You mean just cut it. Yeah, yeah. Cut it in half. It's like, it wasn't half. Like you got a full burger.
And that's the thing. I should have known better. Nobody's not using their Whataburger coupon if they get it. So there you go. Whataburger available on Monday.
Cut your Whataburgers diagonally.
Marcus Semien, Cody Bradford, plus so much more. If you love your Texas Rangers, you're going to be here Monday, January 13th at the Fan Showroom, 4131 North Central Expressway, right here in Dallas downstairs. All right, right now, though, let's talk about the storylines that maybe shocked you this year, changed your mind about some things, because from the 817, I was surprised by the Bills being so dominant in a rebuild year.
I am, too.
That's a good answer, and I think that's the reason why Josh Allen is going to win MVP is because of that perception versus what actually played out.
I was really wrong. I remember one of my predictions to start the football season was, I think somebody else, and I thought it was going to be Miami was my pick. I was completely and totally wrong. I thought that Buffalo was going to relinquish that division because they decided, hey, we went for it. They did go all in, and financially they were in a tough position, so they had to just let people go without really replacing them. And then somewhat just rely on Josh Allen. And just relying on Josh Allen, they still had an awesome year.
Yeah, I've told you my affinity for Joe Brady for years now.
Yeah.
And I guess they sat down with him and they're like, what do you need? And he was like, I can work with this. Let me see this Mac Hollins kid. He doesn't wear shoes. And then they said, hey, let's get Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper hasn't been a world changer for them. He's a great target, though.
Yeah.
But the Bills, I think I just expected the Bills to kind of be the Bills again because Josh Allen is what he is. But I didn't expect them. It looked a lot easier this year. And it's not because of schedule, I don't think. But it looked easy for them, and that's not something I expected this year.
The most shocking thing of the year for me in the NFL has been the renaissance of the running back. Like, you have a honest-to-goodness live MVP candidate in Saquon Barkley. Like, I still think he's going to finish third, but he's been a real MVP candidate, threatened to potentially break Eric Dickerson's rushing record. And then you look earlier in the season, and Derrick Henry was the person who was on pace to break that record. Derrick Henry officially stamped his way into in the Hall of Fame. And Derrick Henry and Saquon have both made the Ravens and the Eagles far scarier than they would have been otherwise in the playoffs. So to me, it's the return of the running back. It really at a high level.
I'm very interested in maybe going back one day and doing a little research project on Hall of Fame because you just said he stamped it. Derrick Henry was famous before he got drafted. And Herschel Walker, he's not in the Hall of Fame, but he was famous before before he was in the NFL. And I wonder like how much that fame part of it has changed now with now because these guys are becoming figures that everybody knows before they even get into the league. And then once the NFL social media team takes over, it launches them into a different stratosphere. There's a whole new era of the way that we consume it, the way we get these figures into where they stand in our location. From the Bo Nix and Jaden Daniels. Bo Nix, okay. As I was watching preseason, Kevin, I told you, I was like, he looks good. And I like he had a number one receiver in Cortland Sutton to throw to. That's why I drafted Sutton in fantasy this year. And I said, I know he has a good defense. I trust the play caller. I loved Jaden Daniels out of the draft. I was just very high on Jaden Daniels. I did not expect Cliff Kingsbury and him to turn Washington around that fast. But again, I said, Terry McLaurin's there. This is a great thing. I didn't expect them to have such a quick rapport. But that combination of those two rookie quarterbacks, That's a big surprise for a lot of people there.
That it's those two. If you told me, because there's five quarterbacks
Caleb
that win
Williams,
the top 13.
Yeah.
If you told me two of them were going to hit it big, maybe top 12. Two were going to hit it big, I would just assume one, two. I was like, the path is clear for Jaden to start. The path is clear for Caleb to start. I would believe it. The fact that it's Jaden Daniels and Bo Nix, and you saw Caleb Williams, obviously a lot of things have gone wrong in Chicago, but you've seen him kind of fall off a cliff following the Hail Mary. That is very surprising.
The
I like these answers, by the way. So I feel like you guys are like killing it right now. I'm like, crap, I don't know if I can come up with better ones than the Josh Allen, than your rookie stuff. I mean, I was super surprised that Zeke wasn't super awesome. Like,
That was Mike Bassick right there being sarcastic.
I'm not sarcastic about the first part, but I just thought I'd throw out Zeke. You know, I mean, gosh, can you believe he wasn't good at football?
Yes. Yes, I can. If I could throw to cut number 11, this is the team that I think has been the super surprise of the NFL season.
Darnold, straight drop off play action to the end zone and touchdown! Justin Jefferson with a 7-yard touchdown from Sam Darnold.
You didn't expect Justin Jefferson to be a good receiver this year?
No, it was more Sam Darnold and the Vikings. Justin Jefferson is amazing. But Sam Darnold and the Vikings, for them to both be so good, because it looked like Sam Darnold, the phrase you used earlier, Corey, was turning back into a pumpkin earlier in the season, and then he pushed back against that. There is no way I would have thought that you would have gotten two Sam Darnold surges. The first one, maybe, but then he
That can be a surprise. Yeah. That can be a pitcher that you're like, oh, no, he found a curveball, and then everybody learned how to hit his curveball.
And then he gets pushed back down.
Yeah.
But then he pushed back up again. And I know it didn't go well against Detroit. But that team is still 14-3. I have been astonished by how good that team and how good Sam Darnold has been.
Yeah, I would say with the Vikings defense, I bet
J.J. McCarthy has been too.
Yeah, that's a big deal, what Sam Darnold's done. Kirk Cousins losing his starting job. Is that a shocker to y'all? Because I don't know. I think Mike might not have been a shocker to him, because you were very high on 28-year-old Michael Penix.
Yeah, I don't want to say I was super high on him. I did not like the way he threw sidearm in college, and we'll see how his career plays out. The whole Atlanta situation was shocking in the draft when you're like, wait, what's happening now? Like, they believe this high in Michael Penix, but don't you guys have Kirk Cousins? And I have no clue what the future holds for Kirk Cousins. I know that Michael Penix is now their starting quarterback going forward, and I don't know how Michael Penix is going to progress or, you know, stay at his peak like he did at Washington in the prime of his career.
Yeah, so. I remember the GM saying, look, I think this is a win-win. If Michael Penix never sees the field, it's because Kirk Cousins is playing great. If he gets to go in and play, then we get to see the future at quarterback there and a guy that we believe can do the job.
I'm legit surprised it took so long, because you remember that first game when I think you were one of the people who pointed it out. I know Kirk Cousins is not your favorite.
He was running in water.
And it looked like he wasn't fully healthy.
Yeah.
And so I thought, okay, well, maybe it's a good thing they got Penix, because he's going to go sooner rather than later. I'm actually surprised it took so long for him to get in there.
How surprised are you guys? This is the opposite. How surprised are you how pathetic Aaron Rodgers was this year?
Arguably,
the worst starting quarterback in the NFL. Arguably.
I didn't think he would be good. I'm surprised he was this bad. Like, I thought he would be like a little bit below average. I'm going to kill your team's chance of winning.
Who are the worst starting quarterbacks in the NFL when you look at the guys that truly were healthy and started the year? And you could argue he was the worst. Obviously, Trevor Lawrence would raise his hand and say, shut up.
This is interesting, because this is where stats can fool you.
Okay.
Somebody texted in yesterday, Mike, and was like, all the stuff y'all did destroying Aaron Rodgers, look at his numbers. And I was right at the forefront of it, because I was one of those standing up for Aaron Rodgers the last couple of years, and I needed to see this year to believe it, because Aaron Rodgers has been really good. His numbers, 28-11. He did that in 2022, 26-12, 3,600 yards. If you're looking at this and going 3,897 yards, 28 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, that's average. That's below average for Aaron Rodgers' career. His interceptions, Kevin, let's go through these numbers.
He's almost like 5-1, probably.
6, 8, 6, 5, 8, 7, 6, 2, 4, 5, 4. That's prime Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
13, 11, 12, 11 is early Aaron Rodgers and late Aaron Rodgers. And that's not what is him, and that's not what the Jets expected when they got him.
And look at that QBR. His QBR is 25th in the NFL. And so
way down from his best primes, too.
Way, way down.
And then if you watch the game, this is sit down and watch the game, and I can't tell you when it, I can't tell you if it was the Davante Adams transition that added to and boosted some of these numbers. It's just drive after drive, you would see three and outs. You would see drives that just failed. You would see him not being able to do what he was best at. Not throwing that, he was great at throwing the deep ball, but it was whenever everything broke down, he could escape and do the fire drill. And he can't do that anymore. And he doesn't know how to, his clock, Mike, has never changed. He's still like, I can make it, and he can't anymore. And that's the thing that I thought was a big problem for the Jets.
How surprised are you at how bad the 49ers were this year?
That, because, you know,
maybe it's Christian McCaffrey. You talk about the renaissance of the running back. Maybe, not saying Brock Purdy isn't good, but like, you're going to hit that. You can do it. Here we go.
It's on.
They had a lot of injuries this year. Across
and McCaffrey,
the board.
Right? It goes
one.
To the running back thing. Is you mentioned the renaissance of the running back, and you see
he
that
wasn't
McCaffrey,
even a part of it.
Yeah, McCaffrey renaissance would be without McCaffrey, and not saying they weren't horrible at running, but they weren't the same.
We talked about the teams that overachieved. Number one on my list for teams that underachieved, and I know some people might think the Cowboys, that's all fine and well. It's the San Francisco 49ers. They finished dead last in their division, and I thought they were a real live Super Bowl contender. And I know they had injuries. I get that. I'm not dismissing that. But to see their fall this year, Mike's right. That has been astonishing.
Here's one. This is from the 33rd team, Kevin. Bryce Young saves his NFL career. The last, three or four games we discussed on Monday, he actually has been very good the last three or four games here. And I'm actually very surprised by that. I don't know opponents and all that.
Yeah.
But
saw him play the Cowboys. Once I started thinking maybe he turned the corner, I watched him play the Cowboys and go, he's still pathetic.
By the way, is QBR better than Aaron Rodgers?
He 15 touchdowns and 6 interceptions to end the year. And he before he was benched, 0 touchdowns, 3 interceptions to start his year. Oof. So I'm not saying he's turning into Jaden Daniels.
Sure,
but I think that Carolina is more like they're more comfortable now going, okay, that's the Bryce we thought we were working with.
And maybe it would be impossible to succeed in Carolina if, let's just say, why am I just drawing a blank? Houston Texans quarterback.
Stroud
would have been drafted number one. Maybe it would have been impossible because I didn't realize this or just forgot it. Broadus brought this up. Do you know who the quarterbacks were on their team the year that they, right before they drafted Bryce Young? The two quarterbacks. They had two quarterbacks on their team. I'll give you a hint.
Davis Mills?
They're both in the playoffs this year. Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold.
That's right.
Wow.
Were both on their team.
Holy moly.
That place stunk.
Right? Like, now you look at Baker Mayfield, you go, solid starting quarterback. Like, he's in that category of like, hey, man, he can lead your team. He's going to get you above 500. He's not great, but he's good. And Sam Darnold, obviously, out of nowhere, became a good, solid quarterback this year. And right before Carolina was like, we're horrible. We need a quarterback. Yeah, their two quarterbacks were Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold.
That is bananas. Absolutely.
And then I think obviously nobody really, we expected the Cowboys to have a down year.
We all expected them to
I still thought they were going to make the playoffs. I think I said
10-7. You
think
said 11
yeah.
and 6 or 10-7?
I thought they were going to be in the playoffs for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And look.
Just because I felt, and I will go back, if you go back and find it, I know for a fact my prediction was, unless there's something catastrophic happens to Dak.
Yeah.
That was what my qualifier was, if something catastrophic happens to Dak. Now, that doesn't justify what happened before Dak got hurt.
Right. 3-5 with Dak.
Mm-hmm. That doesn't justify that. But something catastrophic did happen, and they were never really truly able to climb out of that hole.
And you got smoked by Philly and Houston. If you think he would have won those games, like, rock on, more power to you. And then they finished out 4-3. I think this season, even with Dak, would have been...
The surprises at offensive line, Guyton not being plug and play. That threw everybody for a loop. Zach Martin falling off the cliff.
Getting destroyed defensive line-wise for your injuries. Like Sam Williams out, Micah missed time, obviously Dexter Lawrence, DeMarcus.
Dude, I'll take Dexter Lawrence. If you're saying... Do you want Dexter Lawrence? I'm in.
Yes.
You're talking about Dexter Coakley.
DeMarcus Lawrence.
You're talking about the serial killer from
most of the year.
I think you're talking about Dexter Marshall, the Bear and Washington linebacker.
Nobody is talking about him right now. And no, I didn't mean the Showtime show Dexter, which apparently now there's another version of it now.
A prequel to it?
Yeah.
Yes. All right, guys, now it is time. Or Mike likes it. Are you ready, Mike?
Yeah, I have three things written down.
I don't know.
The first one I wrote down is, I didn't get to this yesterday. I watched quite a bit of Monday Night Raw on Netflix.
Hell yeah. It was number one on Netflix yesterday.
I have no clue what... I did not watch it live. I watched it Monday night kind of after it ended because I went to Netflix to like go, I'm struggling to fall asleep right now. And they're like... Oh, I went to YouTube and they had like a Netflix, like a live YouTube Netflix like review of the show. And I was like, well, let me watch the show. They were really excited about it. And I will tell you real quick, it drug me in. Not where I'm like, I have to watch it live or this and that. But I think on Netflix, the way you can kind of, it's recorded in a way that you can watch what you want to watch. I was hooked a little bit by it.
So we're on Wednesday. Obviously, the show happened on Monday. On Tuesday, the number one TV show in America on Netflix.
I saw a text saying, why are y'all not talking about the number one TV show in America?
It was Raw, followed by Squid Game. Now, today... The new Jerry Springer kind of documentary series is number one, but Raw is still four. So here we are 2 days after the fact. Raw is still four. It was one yesterday. I'm sure a lot of people watch it live. It's hard to get concrete numbers on that because obviously Netflix is, you know, they don't abide by the same like Nielsen procedures in terms of what we hear and what we don't. But it seems like just the first week at least, it's been a big hit for both.
Okay, so... Alec, you can join in here too because I know you watch a lot of wrestling. I don't. I do watch on YouTube a lot of history of wrestling. So I know that wrestling has become way more athletic than, let's say, when I was a kid or a young adult when I would watch in the late 90s, early 2000s. I did really like NWO. I liked what they were doing over there. And then obviously I also liked The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Undertaker and Mankind, everything that was competing at the same time. So there was a lot to like back then. And then there was for me a lot to like with the Von Erichs being from here.
Yep.
And then Hulk Hogan and everything that was happening as a child as it became a national deal with Andre the Giant kind of retiring but being a small part of it, Macho Man Randy Savage. So just giving you my history of wrestling and when I liked it. And when did wrestling become so freaking athletic? What they're doing in the ring now, even I'll say compared to, I'm not trying to take a shot at Stone Cold or The Rock, they were tremendous in their time, but I feel like the athleticism that is happening in the ring now is prime.
So like, obviously, Japan is ahead of the curve with this because you can argue by the mid-90s, you were seeing almost this level of athleticism. But I would argue Shawn Michaels because he got a push and did. I know some people will say flipping and flopping and all of that, but Shawn Michaels did a lot more athletic things. So did Brian Pillman. But Shawn Michaels got the super push to go along with it because a lot of times, like, Brian Pillman, who unfortunately, he used to play for the Bengals. He has long since passed away. He was just kind of like put in as a cruiserweight for a while because he did all that stuff. I thought Shawn Michaels was a big deal because he wasn't just a cruiserweight. Like, he did all those wacky moves that like usually heavyweights don't do, but he was still considered a heavyweight in North America in the mid to late 90s.
I was always surprised at that. Deal. Just as a casual fan. That
sure.
I would look smaller at him and I go, he doesn't look like he belongs in the ring with that guy.
Fair.
Sorry to interrupt.
No. I wanted to go to Alex, but Alec, But that's one of my initial thoughts of Shawn Michaels, because not only did he do it, but he also got the push. That's the difference. If you can do it, great. But are you also represented as like a top guy?
And even as like far away from now as Rey Mysterio's run in WCW, right?
Where Rey Mysterio's a good one too.
Because he was always way smaller than everyone, so you have to stick out. And that's where the cruiserweight division came into play, is like, if you aren't this larger-than-life character that a Vince McMahon was like infatuated with for decades, what can you do that's different? So I think a lot of guys were just, you kind of got to a point, especially in like the mid to like even early 2000s, where a lot of acts and a lot of gimmicks looked the same. A lot of movesets looked the same. So it became a race of who could do the coolest thing in the most different way than everybody else. And you see it now, and you saw it like last night. If you watch on the CW every Tuesday, their developmental brand, NXT,
yep,
they have an NIL program now where they're taking college athletes that might not go pro and saying, hey, we can teach you how to wrestle. And they had a guy that just won the NXT championship last night, Obafemi. He's the biggest pro wrestler you've ever seen.
He's humongous.
He's like 6'6", 300 and something pounds. Chiseled out of stone. He was a shot put thrower at Alabama. And he kind of realized, I'm not really going to take this anywhere. So they're starting to get athletes from outside sources even. So that's where it is today. But even as early as like the 90s, like Kevin was saying, with guys like Pillman, but with Rey Mysterio even, it's just, you got to do something different.
Do you guys think, I know you guys are pro wrestling as in like you're pro like yes. for it and have enjoyed it most yes. of your life. Do you think Netflix is going to give it even more of a bump, you know, with like people like me or, you know, younger people? I don't know. I'm just like, this wasn't on my radar, this Netflix being a big deal, but they obviously pumped it in your face a lot. And then I watched it and I was very impressed.
I think it's going to be a huge deal for them from one specific perspective. It's live across the world now, because what you would see is everything is built around your live, like, United States property. I know they've moved their pay-per-views to different countries and stuff like that, but it would be like, well, Raw's live at 7 o'clock Central. SmackDown's live at 7 o'clock Central. Now, I know the timing is still the same, but you don't get the canned product of that, or like the recorded product a few hours later. If you want to watch it at 2 a.m, it's live in wherever you live. And I think that's going to be a huge thing for them internationally as well.
Okay. Yeah.
I did see a video of Kay Adams saying, what's this guy's deal?
She was talking about the Undertaker. Mm-hmm. I didn't like that.
She was there.
Yeah. She was wearing a Monday Night Raw hat on her show today, too.
Proud of her.
A lot of people were taking that out of context.
But she was talking about the Undertaker.
I guess I didn't get to the end. I got a little bit tired and I haven't gone back and watched. I was really impressed. Just real quick. I was impressed with the two women wrestlers.
Yeah, Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan.
I thought that they did a great job and put on a really nice show. I got really, to be honest,
Love the Uso-McIntyre match, right?
I got really bored with that one, but I was also getting tired, too.
Okay.
And because I'm not like a wrestling fan, like watching it live for 2 hours,
yeah,
I was like, I'm kind of wrestled out. I thought the first one was very good with Roman Reigns and the other dude.
Solo.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, because I only know like the super duper popular people.
My wife's like that too, because she'll be like, do I know these people? And I'm like, probably not.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to move on from there, and I'm going to move to college football. I'm going to ask this question, and Carter, I don't know, he's on a Whataburger break, I guess. Are you guys surprised that Arch Manning hasn't got more snaps?
Yes. A lot.
No. If you would like to elaborate, no, you
go
can,
ahead, go ahead.
But I can elaborate as well. And I say no,
go,
Kevin,
go for it.
Because they have a starter and Sark's trying. This goes back to, and I don't know Sark's philosophy, but I feel like it is very similar to, I'm going to give you every chance that I can. And that's how I'm going to recruit. It's not as much as NIL money exists now. Recruiting is still part of it. And you want to come here, you're going to get your opportunity to play. And I also think that Manning understands he's going to play. He's going to get his shot at some point. So he's not pressing for it. When Chris Sims got in, it was because dad went and called and said, this Major Applewhite kid's not doing it anymore. It's time for my son.
Or we're leaving.
And so like there wasn't that pressure for it. So But he did get a lot of snaps this year. But Ewers has given, has stepped in and continued to, other than really the Georgia game, they win enough. And I think Sark is like, I can win with this guy. And I know Manning's still in the way. Maybe even it's one of those like, look, next year's really the team.
And see, I remain really surprised just because they didn't use Arch in more situations where I would have thought they did, like third and fourth and short yardage or in the goal to go situations in that last game. I was stunned by that. I know there's a lot of people who are like, Arch should start. I'm not surprised he's not starting because of pretty much exactly what Corey said. I was surprised they didn't deploy Arch more strategically in their quarterfinal game against Arizona State. Quite frankly, I think they could have put the game away for real, for real.
By being able to run the ball more effectively with him?
If they would have used him.
And I wonder how much of that is a coach's idea of the install takes too much time. You know, like just...
Maybe.
Hell, we talked about that all freaking season with Trey Lance, and they didn't do it. I don't know how much of that is, and I got to get these reps for this guy, or how much of it is I don't have the packages built for him, and I don't know what to do yet with the guy.
By the way,
that might be an off-season complete overhaul for Sark, is working on getting him to play more like Ewers, but also be the guy that can do other things.
Yeah, because he needs to do other things because Ewers is a statue.
I agree.
So when, by the way, that Arizona State game, when they were showing Jake the Snake, my son thought it was like the old wrestler.
Oh, Jake the Snake Roberts.
And I'm like,
not Plummer.
He was like a super, he's like their best quarterback ever. He's actually a really good quarterback in the NFL. But anyway, so I just thought that was funny when my son was like combining these two things. I'm like, no, he was the quarterback and he's the best quarterback in Arizona State history. I think he is. Maybe there was some dude in the 40s or whatever that sun
Jim Drunken Miller. Remember
he
was him?
Wasn't he West Virginia?
Oh, was he? I thought he was Arizona State.
You'd have to look it up. But for some reason, I thought maybe
but
he was.
Jake is better, for sure.
All right, so this is a fun conversation.
Danny White?
Maybe Danny White. I have two
Steve
nuts
DeBerg.
In my hand.
I don't know if it was Steve DeBerg.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. So I want you guys to look
Did you just say you have two nuts in your hand?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're almond nuts. All right. So
Trayvon Diggs.
So these nuts... We were having a discussion with somebody. I was with somebody else. What do you call the outside of the nut that, like, this
shell.
Is brown? Well, these don't have shells. They're out of the shell. So I'm showing you because one has this off of it. You can see, like, kind
the
of
candy
the cream look of it. Mm-hmm. And this one still has the brown on it. What do you call the outside of the nut that can sometimes choke you? Like, that's the part
makes
you... Because
it's not the rind.
Mm-hmm.
What do you call it?
I bet. So I think it might be a membrane.
Know.
Whenever
I call
the
it
nut
the skin, I think.
Okay, skin sounds good. Yeah. Okay.
You call it like the a peanut skin. Obviously has this, right? And sometimes they'll de-skin the nuts, like the. But
when you're really young, usually when you're a baby at the hospital.
Not your. That's
talking
your,
about
that's
right
your
now,
wiener
Kevin?
That okay. they do that my circumcise.
Bad. Jeez, dude.
Yeah.
The skin. I think that's right.
Kids are going to be out of school.
Do you have a turtleneck or not? You know?
Have you ever asked that question?
No, you just look and see if they do or not.
Show me your meat.
Yeah.
That's an old.
So anyways, I was just like, it is an interesting kind of in Mike's head. Like, hey,
okay,
what do you call this part of the nut that there's nuts all have this like.
The husk.
Skin on. Husk, yeah.
I got an answer. I have an answer.
What is it called?
On a peanut.
On a peanut.
The brown paper-like covering of the edible part of the peanut is called the seed coat.
The coat. Is it the same with an almond?
The
almond, the coat?
The light brown shell of an almond, thank you, AI overview, is the hard lignified endocarp that surrounds the kernel. It's referred to as the shell.
Oh.
I don't, because wouldn't you say the shell is
the
other part?
Is, yeah, we don't eat the shell, but I guess I'm eating the shell of an almond?
That is the hull. The what we would call the shell of an almond is the hull, and the shell is the papery part.
Wonder how Jason Whitlock would describe it.
I don't know where you're going with that, but I don't know.
The shell of the nut?
The colors that you're talking about.
Brown and creamish?
He has some thoughts.
Well, I know. He called Joy Taylor peanut butter colored skin, right?
Yes.
Are you done, Mike?
She does have a good looking skin tone.
Coming up next here on the KNC Masterpiece, it's, yes, the C Block, starring me, next year's schedule for the Cowboys easy? And what's the coolest fan interaction you've ever seen next on The Fan?